Before we begin tonight's shiur, I just want to mention something from last week's shiur. Last week's shiur, we quoted from the Keses HaSofer. We mentioned the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch wrote a very popular sefer called the Keses HaSofer, which in his Akdama, the Chassam Sofer writes that every sefer that wants, any of his Talmidim will want to get smicha in Safros, they have to be well-versed in this sefer. And I mentioned what I heard from Rav Schachter, that Rav Schachter was curious if maybe the reason why he gave such a glowing report was because the Chassam Sofer's third wife was the adoptive mother, Rebbetzin Heller, to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And a fellow from Eretz Yisrael, a listener to our Shurim, reached out to me and he told me that that's just not historically correct. That the time when the Chassam Sofer gave the Haskama to the Keses HaSofer, he was not yet married to Rebbetzin Heller, and therefore that's not the reason that the Chassam Sofer gave such a glowing Haskama. It's obviously because the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and I didn't mean any Chas V'Shalom disrespect to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in any way, so I just want to verify that point from last week's shir. Okay. Tonight's shir, we're going to discuss something which is on everyone's mind, and it's very important, and the topic is germs in halacha. How do we deal with the germs, and for more, and more so, the spread of germs from a halachic issue? We're very germ sensitive now because of corona. Again, Baruch Hashem, it's a lot better, but sadly enough, it's still around and it's rearing its ugly head. So we as a nation, as a people, have become a little bit more self-conscious or conscientious about germs. But I want to spend some time this evening showing the halachic outlook, or the halachic perspective of germs, and for that matter, the spread of germs. So we'll start off number one with the Sefer HaChassidim. The Sefer HaChassidim writes, Lifnei Iver Lo Sita Michshol. We know there's an Issur D'Oraisa in front of a blind person, you're not allowed to put a stumbling block, which we know means many different things. It means literally. And it also means if you can't give someone bad advice, if someone calls you up and he wants to go into a certain business, he wants to invest in a certain company, and you know good and well that that's a lousy idea, it's going to make him lose a lot of money, or you know that this guy is not going to be a very good doctor, rabbi, lawyer, and you tell him, yeah, go for it, go to medical school, you'll do great. So it's a violation of a law in the Torah of Lifnei Iver Lo Sita Michshol. However, says the Sefer HaChassidim, included in that is, Shalei Yirchatz Odom Shehu Mukishchin. If a person knows he's Mukishchin, Mukishchin in the times of the Gemara is a fancy way of saying he has some form of an infection, which is catchy. Im Yehudi Acher, he should not go to the same bathhouse with another Jew. El Im Kein Yoydieni, unless you let him know. You can't carry around your germs and therefore expose others to it, unless you let them know. Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, V'ahav to l'racha kamach, you have to love your friend like you do yourself. V'uksiv le'isam adam rech, you're not allowed to stand on the blood of your brother. And therefore, says the Sefer HaChassidim, if you know you're infected, if you know you're carrying germs, you are not permitted to expose those germs to someone else. Again, the example that he's talking about is washing in a sheared bathhouse or in a sheared washing location, knowing that you are infected with this disease of Mukishchin, which is catchy. But the idea of the Sefer HaChassidim is we need to know that if you are perhaps someone who's walking around with germs, you're not allowed to expose others to that. That would be a violation of V'ahavta l'reacha kamoch. So that's something that we all have to be aware of. As we've spoken about when we did the sugya of vaccinations, we've discussed the idea of not only do we have to be protective of our own body, we have to protect our bodies from others as well. So therefore, not only do we have to do whatever we can do to stay safe, that's really the mask on discussion. I have to wear a mask to protect myself, and perhaps I have to wear a mask to protect you. So this way, I can't chas v'shalom infect you if I have something that I'm not aware of. Says the Sefer HaChassidim, you're not allowed to unless you notify him, unless he's willing to take the risk, and therefore it would not be a violation. If you look in your Yoredeya, number two in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, an interesting halach, which your mother's probably all told you, but maybe for a different reason. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Tzorech lizor melitin mo'os bepith. A person should not put money in his mouth. And everyone says, put your money where your mouth is. Shulchan Aruch says the opposite. Don't put the money into your mouth. Why, says the Mechaber, Shema Yeshalem Roich Yavish, because maybe there's some dried up spit, Shal Mukishchin. Again, we're always worried about the Mukishchin. Mukishchin is an example of some form of a contagious infection. Again, so therefore, says the Mechaber, you don't know who touched that money. You're going to put that into your mouth. Who knows where it's been? So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, you should never put money into your, in your mouth because of the catchy germs. Says the Shach number three, the Haran, Kasav is based on Haran. Hatam Neshiyar Hakom Shameshes Ben, our hands are always moving. And there might be some sweat or something else on it. And that sweat is dangerous when it goes into the mouth. So therefore says the Shach, quoting from the Ran, that it's not just because of the roik of the Yavesh, it's not just the spit, but there's also sweat and other germs and perhaps bacteria that could be spread when it goes into your mouth. So here the Mechaber is telling us, Halacha Shulchan Aruch, a person should never put money into his mouth. It's interesting that Kav HaChaim writes, another reason why you shouldn't put money into your mouth, lest you choke on it. Again, probably was talking about coins. Well, you can choke on coins. So the Kaf HaChaim says you shouldn't put money into your mouth because you may choke. But here, Shulchan Aruch and the Ran and the Shach are saying a germ issue. You don't know where that money's been. If you're going to take that money and you're putting it into your mouth, you're exposing either your mouth to the roik of a mukishchin, or you're exposing your mouth to zuama, which could be dangerous if it goes into your mouth. Now, if you look at number four, this presents a much bigger dilemma. It says in Shulchan Aruch number four, an interesting halach. It says in Simen Kuf Ayin in Arachayim, it says, Lo yishtem mehakois v'yitin l'chaveri. This is called sharing drinks. It says in Shulchan Aruch, everyone who's ever been to camp or yeshiva knows that everyone goes around passing around drinks. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to. Lo yishtem mehakois v'yitin l'chaveri. Do not drink from a cup and then give it to your friend. Why? Why am I not allowed to take a swig and then give it to you? The guy buys a 25-ounce cup of coffee, so he figures, well, sure, between the two of you, I'll take a swig, you take a swig, we'll pass it around. All right, people do that in families. They buy a big bottle of soda and everyone, you know, passes it around. And I'm talking about drinking from the bottle, I'm not talking about pouring into cups. But says the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to drink and then give to someone else to drink. Why? Listen to this. But nei sakonis nefashis. It's can kill someone. Who's going to die from this? So if you look in the Taz writes over number five, Kosov Mayri V'chaymi. He quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach. We spoke about on Sunday, the relationship between the Taz and the Bach. What's pshat? That he quotes from the Mashal, that Imlo Kacha Vera Meyatzmi V'shoyse Les Lomba. The Mashal makes the following observation in the case of the Mechaber. The Mechaber talks about a case where I drink and then I offer it to you. What would happen if I drink and I put it on the table and then you come and take it? Would that make a difference? So the Mashal says, yes, that makes a difference. You know why? He says an interesting svar. He says, the Shema Machmas Busho Yikabel Mimenu, the Yishte V'ikas Akonis Nefoshes. Says the Mashal, this whole halacha is based on the following premise. I'm sitting at your table, and you're the Baal Bos, you're the head of the house, you invite me in as a guest, and you start off the meal by taking a big bottle of soda, and you drink from the bottle and you give it to me. Now what am I supposed to do? I feel foolish not taking it from you. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, this guy, who knows what he has? What germs am I ingesting into my body? So it says that the Marshal, that's what's causing you to die. It's because you're so embarrassed and you're so nervous about, what do I do? Do I not drink it? Do I drink it? Do I expose myself? Don't I expose to myself? You don't know what to do. Therefore, that's why it's dangerous. However, says the Marshal, but if you consciously decide that you want to drink it, and if you're willing to override the risk of germs, then it's not a problem. That's how the Mashal understood this halach. And that's what he quotes over here from his father-in-law. The father-in-law, the Bach understood that if you can't, meaning the only time you're not allowed to drink, someone else's drink is if you don't have the right to choose. He's kind of forcing it to you and you're embarrassed not to take it. And then you're going to get so grossed out by the germs. But if you decide that you want to take his leftovers, he's not forcing you. He puts it on the table. You want it, you want it. Says the Bach, says the Mashal, in that case, there's no such problem with drinking leftovers. Says the Taz, Mashma, the Mefarish Hach Sakonis Nefoshes, the Efshe, the Chaver, Mos, the Lish, Tais, Mimenu, Shishayibo. He says, what's the Sakon of the Mechaber? That maybe my friend is grossed out by having to drink from my leftovers. The Efshe, the Nisar of Reikershom, he's got some spit mixed in there. Avlani Reisi, but Sefer Tzavos, Rebeliezer, Agodl, says the Taz, but I disagree with my father-in-law respectfully. Because I found in the Sefer of the Tzavov, Rebeliezer, Agodl, Shemazir Mo'oid Lishtois Mikoy Shishaychre, who was very careful not to drink leftover drinks. Why? Kishemi Yeshla Ezechayde B'tech Gufa. Maybe the first person who drank had some form of internal illness, the Yotze Reich, but Ruach probably should be Breik. And then he dropped into the... Again, a guy takes a drink, all his germs go into the drink, and now I walk over and I take the drink. Says the Taz, it doesn't matter. It's not dangerous because I'm pushed into an uncomfortable position of drinking or not drinking it. It's because there's germs floating around in that cup, and you're not permitted to drink unknown germs. Therefore, Venira, Dalza, oh my God, I'm cancer, cause of ushers. That's the danger. The danger is not because you're so nervous and stressed about whether or not to drink it or not drink it. The danger is because you don't know what this guy has. And therefore says the Taz, Pshuta Kemashamoy. You're not allowed to drink leftover drinks from other people. You're not allowed to share drinks. You're not allowed to pass drinks around. No matter what. Whether you take it on your own, whether he offers it.
put on a sweatshirt, a razor.
In any case, therefore, Zakta Tata, I disagree with my father-in-law. I think in all cases and in every case, you have to, you're not allowed to drink it. That's the machloikis. So it's a very fundamental machloikis. According to the Taz and according to the Mashal and the Bach, this whole prohibition is only if you don't have an option to drink, and you're forced to drink. But if you have the option, so then there's no problem. Well, according to the Taz, even if you have an option, we're still concerned about the germs. Then the Taz concludes and he writes, even if he leaves it there in the stress man, you can't drink it. That's no chiddush. The Miatzma Leyasakein says the Taz, the Machaber doesn't have to write that you shouldn't drink someone's leftovers. That's pashut. The chiddush is don't serve it to someone else. Don't put someone in an uncomfortable position. El the mazish layitam leydeshem of nehabushi kablenu, because maybe because out of sheer embarrassment he'll accept. Ube emes says the Taz, reisi bimedinas acheres. I saw in other countries nezari meoid shlilishtas mishir chaver. Says the Taz, I saw in other countries, in other communities, that the people are very careful not to eat from other people's plates, not to eat other people's leftovers. So the Taz is a very big proponent. He thinks that drinking from other people's things are dangerous. This is called sharing germs. You don't know what the other person had, and therefore he's very much against the idea of trying to drink from other people's stuff, to try to drink from other people's leftovers. He holds that it is a very, very bad idea, and it is prohibited. Now, there's a problem over here. We're going to get ourselves into a bit of a situation. The problem is going to be is that in our religion, there is much passing around of drinks. And I'm not talking about shirayim from a Rebbe. I'm not getting involved in that. I'm talking about even in the Litvish community, there is much passing around of drinks that seems to be a blatant halach and shulchan aruch not to. What are some of the most classic examples? Kiddush. What goes on by Kiddush? So one person drinks and he passes the cup around the table. What goes on at a chasana? The mitzvah of the kedushin drinks, then he gives it to the chasana drink, then he gives it to the kala to drink. Sheva brachas. All the many times we pass the cup around. Literally. So why is this not a violation of this halacha and shulchan aruch? So you're telling me if we're all in the same family, and I'm making kiddush in my house, so we're all in our own little bubble. Okay, fine. So I hear. But what happens if you have guests at the table? What happens if there's other people at the table? What happens when the rabbi makes kiddush in shul, and then everyone runs to drink from the cup? Why is it not a violation of this halacha and shulchan aruch? This isn't shulchan aruch. You're not supposed to drink. So if you hold like the Taz, if you hold like the Marshal, so it's not a problem. I'm not forcing anyone. You want to come drink my cup, it's your business. But if you hold it to Taz, that the pshat is that there's germs floating around in the cup of wine. So why is it that it's so permitted? Why is it okay for the Masada Kedushin to drink a little bit of the wine and then give it to the chasan and the kala? Why is that not a violation of this halach? Now, if you look over in number 6 in the Sefer Mishnas HaShabbos, he discusses and he quotes from a Sefer Zivchei Tzedek, and he writes like this: V'yesh l'ayin. Why when it comes to Kaishal Bracha, all of a sudden everyone's makel? How many people dive over to get a Kaishal Bracha out of Sheva Brachas? You have 20 people drinking out of the same cup. That's mamash a violation of this halacha. So he writes, he wants to tell you that the answer to that kash is based on Uvosh. Now what? This is only if you're very you're an istinus, you're very careful, you're very troubled by germs. If you don't care, you don't care. If you're an easygoing guy and these things don't bother you, you're not a germaphobe, then it's okay. However, even according to that pshat, but let's example, you are an istinus. Your skin crawls thinking about germs. Then you shouldn't. Whatever the guy who makes kiddush is sick, ain't lishtos acharav. These people don't realize. I try to do this in my own house, even with my own family. If I will have a cold or I'll be under the weather and I make kiddush Friday night, I will not drink from the cup and pass it around the table. Why would I pass germs? So he's saying like this, that even if you want a taina, that you hold like the levush, that when does it say in Shulchan Aruch you're not supposed to drink from someone's leftovers? Again, not like the Taz, like the levush. Levush said it's only if it bothers you. That's like the Marshal. However, if you yourself know that you have something wrong with you, then you shouldn't pass germs around. There's absolutely no reason for you to go around passing germs. This is a shtickle similar to what we've spoken about in our Sunday morning share at length about mitzitza bepeh, when the moilim have something going on in their mouth, and should they not do mitzitza? Yes, mitzitza. So again, here we're saying pashut. If you think there's something going on, you absolutely should not. So I suggest if anyone makes kiddush, even in their own home, even in their own bubble, if you think you have a cold, I think you should first pour off into separate cups. Don't drink directly from the cup. You're just infecting everyone with germs. However, if you look in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoi, he also addresses this question about why is it that everyone drinks in the same cup at a Kashal Bracha? So he writes, "V'shemati ma'gedim b'shem mezalman or b'chli." I heard from b'shem mezalman that in the first b'shulchan arachsam and kofayin zim tazayin the leishtem and akoyz vidin lachavei b'nei sekar zefashet. That's aser. You're not allowed to do that. V'al smach ma rabbi mekilim b'zeh b'kashal kiddush. So why is everyone so mekel when it comes to Kashal kiddush b'chaz hamoz b'shal zayin brachas? Leitin es akoyz gam lachem. You pass the cup around and give it to everyone. Where do you know Kashal Mitzvah is mutter? Meaning, Shem Zalman is not answering the Kasha. He's bothered with the Kasha. Shem Zalman says, I don't get it. Why do people think Kashal Mitzvah doesn't have germs in it? Kashal Mitzvah doesn't have germs? It's like saying, you know, you can't catch germs if you're gathering together to daven, you won't catch COVID. Well, that's not true. Says Shem Zalman, I don't get it. Why is everyone so make? That's not if it's Shchichi Hezeka, the Gemara says. If it's Shchichi Hezeka, if it's clear cut, we'll see. Some people say, not Shluchi Mitzvah. Some people are going to apply the rule of Shemi Mitzvah Layedid Avera. We'll see that in a minute. But that also has rules when you say Shemi Mitzvah Layedid Avera. Not if it's a clear and cut danger. If it's clear and cut danger, we don't say that. So Shem Zalman is bothered. If you look at number 8, Shem Zalman discusses this in Halicha Shleima a little bit more. He writes like this. He says, "V'ro oid b'steichem merasiv as dinim pa'as asodem arachas brachis michtovish al agoyin haderet." He quotes from the great Haderet. We've spoken about the Haderet many times. The Haderet was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. Rav Kook had two wives, but the first father-in-law of Rav Kook was the Haderet. Was one of the ended up being moved to Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life, but that was the Haderet. And it was a Rav and Panovich. Okay, so we've spoken about the Haderet many times. He writes like this. This is a big question. I think we might have touched upon this in our sugyas on marriage about when who drinks from the cup under the chuppah. Does the Mesad the Kedushin drink? Does he give it to the Chasan the Kal to drink? Who's supposed to drink? So if you ever want to tell who your Mesad the Kedushin is, or where he learned, so you'll watch if he drinks. What many do is based on what the briskers do. Chaim held that what you do is that you basically spill a little bit on your fingers and you lick a little bit on your fingers, because the Mesad is one who makes the agafen. There's a whole Pnei Yeshu and Kedushin about it. We've spoken about this in past Shurim about who exactly is supposed to drink from it. But the briskers are makbid, like they try to spill a little bit on their fingers and they suck their fingers as like a brisker zach to do at the chasana as for the Mesad Kedushin. But here's the kash. The Mesad drinks, then he gives the chasana kal to drink. So why is there not a violation of this halacha and Shulchan Aruch? So he writes over here, maybe they think that Kashal Mitzvah doesn't have this problem. And if Shem Zalman was careful, when he had guests, whenever Shem Zalman would have non-family members at the meal, he would pour off before he drank himself. Instead of Shem Zalman, when there were other people in his home that he was worried about spreading germs, he would taka not drink from the cup. He poured off into little cups and then he would drink, which is what I mentioned I try to do if I myself am not feeling. So Shem Zalman took this very seriously. Shem Zalman thought it was a problem. Ravad Yosef is a tshuva in Yabi Oimer, where he seems to be more makel. He seems to think it's okay. The Velt does it and everyone does it. Don't think twice about it. However, I'm just curious what they do in chasanas that are done in these situations. I was at one COVID chasana, and I don't think they were too machmed about this. But looking back, I wonder if that's something people should be more careful with. Because again, strictly speaking, it's not so possible that the Masadah has to drink from the cup, even though he makes the hagafen. So I would venture to believe that if we can avoid spreading germs, it's probably better to avoid germs. I'm hoping that no shuls today are having kiddushim anyways, but it's not a gay. But I definitely wouldn't suggest that if the rabbi makes kiddush, I don't think everyone should run over and drink from his cup now. I don't think they should do it all the time, because you don't know what the rabbi has. Maybe the rabbi has other types of colds and other forms of illnesses. But nonetheless, it's definitely an issue. Shlomo Zalman is raising the issue, and it seems like it's something that we should be more careful with. People are not. It's like this. It's a Hamish attitude. Everyone drinks from the same cup. I think it's questionable from a halachic standpoint. I think it's questionable from a medical standpoint. I think it's definitely something that we should try to stay clear of. Again, with your own family is one thing. You're in your own bubble, but you're going to have other people at your table. You're going to have other people around. I think it's very questionable that we should all be drinking from the same cup. Okay, that's one area I wanted.
Does the person making Kiddush specifically need to drink from the actual kos, or can he spill off and drink from another cup also?
Strictly speaking, he can also spill off. But there is an inyan, they bring down based on a Ramah, that there is an inyan that everyone should drink from the cup. But that's all if, you know, everyone's healthy and everything is okay. But if you're not, you gotta spill off a little bit. And this way,
so when it's a halacha to drink from the cup.
There is an inyan to drink from the cup itself. There is such an inyan, but again, I don't know if it's more. Reb Shlomo Zalman thought it wasn't more important than spreading germs. I don't think it trumps spreading germs.
When you say kosher bracha, so based on what you're saying, Joel, is the kosher bracha means the actual cup itself, not what's inside of it. Is that correct?
There is such a concept that kosher bracha is the cup, but it's pashtus, the content of the cup. The yayin has kedusha.
The content, so what's the problem spilling off then beforehand?
I didn't say there is a problem. I think that's what you should do. I think there are those who say that there's an inyan to drink directly from the cup, but I think strictly speaking, it's probably better not to. I think it's probably better to pull to spill off. Okay, that's one issue of germ spreading, which is very relevant in our community. What's the next major issue, in my opinion, of germ spreading? Is the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is a wonderful thing. Of course, we love our Sefer Torah. But because, Baruch Hashem, we're basically back into shuls, I think people have to be a little bit more conscientious about the spread of germs vis-a-vis the Sefer Torah. What do I mean by vis-a-vis the Sefer Torah? So if you look at number 9, there's a Ramon Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas, the end of Mamash, I think it's the last siman in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, if I'm not mistaken. He writes the following. Says the Rambam, that if those communities where they keep the Sefer Torah in Heichel, it's a mitzvah on anyone that the Torah passes in front of them to be malava the Sefer Torah up to the Aron. Now, obviously, this is not practical for the whole shul to be malavit, so those who sit close enough, those who have the ability, should try to be malavit the Sefer Torah into its proper place. Fine. I want the last line of this Rambam. Says Rambam, "Yesh mikosvu shemeviim hatinoikis lenashek haTorah." They bring the children to come kiss the Torah. Why? K'dei lechanchem ulezarzem b'mitzvus, to educate them. This is what's important. This is mitzvahs. This is Torah. This is spirituality. So we have the kids come and kiss the Sefer Torah. V'chein nogim. Says Rambam, that's our custom. Okay, so this is the makor of kissing the Sefer Torah. Now it doesn't say the adults kiss the Sefer Torah. It says that the children would come to kiss the Sefer Torah. But obviously it goes without saying, if we're going to be mechanech the children to kiss the Sefer Torah, it's because when they grow older, we want them to kiss the Sefer Torah as well. And the Kavach Haim makes that observation. He writes in number 10, V'chein ha-gedoylem gam ke mitzvah l'nashe kiss haTorah. It's not only a mitzvah for kids to kiss the Sefer Torah, it's also a mitzvah for adults to kiss the Sefer Torah. He writes over from the Arizal, V'chein olo d'minag Arizal l'nashe kiss haSefer Torah, l'avose le'lech achav min heichal al ha-tev. He used to kiss it, he used to be malavi, that was the Arizal's minag. There's another minag, which the Kav Chaim mentions over here, number 11, minag nochel l'nashik ha-sefer Torah b'psicha v'chasima, is a minute to kiss it in the beginning and the end, u'befrat b'sefer Kabbalah v'gam musukula le'zikaroi. That's another issue. When you get an aliyah, so strictly speaking, when you get an aliyah, you're supposed to see the place where you're going to get an aliyah. So many people have a minute to kiss it also. Many people have a minute to kiss, you know, that's again. But over here, I want to discuss the kissing of the Sefer Torah when it's moving and when it's going. Now, if you look over in the Sefer Oil Yaakov, written by a Yaakov Skatchelis, he's a native of the Kiron Hills community, now he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he writes very, very nice svarim with all contemporary poiskim. So it's very, very practical. He writes like this. He calls him the Sefer She'arim Mitzionim Bahalacha, which itself was written by an American, one of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Braun, was a Rav over here, I believe, in Brownsville, I think, for many years in the 1940s, 1950s. He writes like this. He wrote a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch called the Sharm Mitzvah Halacha, a very fascinating sefer. He writes, what's the mikar for kissing the Sefer Torah? Why do we kiss the Sefer Torah? So he writes, maybe mikar l'mashe noigim l'nashik ha-sefer Torah kishim etziyah machdisa l'an ha-kodesh mashikot zav rashi v'sech l'avoy d'zara. Da, kevaldik. The reason why we kiss the Sefer Torah is based on a rashi and avoy d'zara. What does Rashi say in avoy d'zara? Shederich b'nei odm kishu yitzim v'yitzak nes l'nashik ha-smi shagod b'menem shum kovah. Rashi says that when you used to leave the shul, they used to give the rabbi a kiss. If you ever been to the Sfardish shuls, this is very popular. They're always kissing the rabbi's hands because it's based on a Rashi. Rashi of Zohar says they used to give a kiss to the hand of someone who was a god. So said the Shor Mesemen Alocha of Im Kain Yeshloim Akav Chaimer. If Adam Godlo Shavar Minash Moisef, if Adam Godlo passes by, you give him a kiss. Koshkin Sheyesh Nash Save a Torah. Avad, you got to kiss the Save a Torah. So that was the makor of why we kiss the Save a Torah. If you give a kiss to another Godlo, so Koshkin you should kiss the Save a Torah. So explains the Shor Mesemen on Bahalach. Okay. Now if you look over in the Shari Ephraim, who is the Shari Ephraim? Rav Ephraim Zamer Magolus. Why is that name so important? Because we're now holding an Elul, and the Chodesh Elul is the other sefer that Rabbi Ephraim Zamer Margolis wrote, which is so heavily used, the Mata Ephraim. But he wrote another sefer on Kriyas HaTorah, which we've used a lot in our last couple Shiurim on Kriyas HaTorah. We used the Shari Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zamer Margolis. Ephraim Zamer Margolis lived in the mid to late 1700s. He died, I believe, in the year 1828. His sefer came out, the Mata Ephraim came out, I believe, around 1834. Rabbi Ephraim Zamer Margolis was independently wealthy. He was a banker, and he had his own yeshiva. He did not need to take flack from nobody. He could do what he wanted because he had his own money, everyone's dream. In any case, says the Shari Ephraim the following. He writes like this. V'chol ha'mis karavim etzlom, anyone who comes close to the Sefer Torah, noshkim ha'sefer Torah be'peh. You kiss it with your mouth. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you go like this to the Sefer Torah. It means you put your lips on the Sefer Torah. On the cover of the Sefer Torah, but I'm supposed to say Yashkeni Minishikas Vim Karav Etzloi Mamish Lechabek Bezroi Yosov. If you're close enough to be able to grab it with your arms, Yichabkenu B'Yamin. You hold the Sefer Torah. The Oymer, you should say V'Yamin Itachabkeni. I'm holding on to the Sefer Torah. You Mamish, and it's like an intimate embrace. You hold the Sefer Torah. I've seen people do this. I've seen Gedolim talk and kiss the Sefer Torah like that. Where they Mamish, it's you feel like they're kissing their grandchild with such a love and such a closeness. They bring it close to them and they kiss it. Vim Ein Yochel Anashik V'Peh. Zogtimat Ephraim, the Shari Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zamer Margolis. Let's say you're not close enough to kiss it with your mouth. Nashik biyad, you kiss it with your hand. So here he's introducing us to this concept of kissing with our hand. Even though, really, if you're close enough, you should kiss it with your mouth directly on the cover. Which again, we can all understand how that's going to spread germs very, very easily. But Dr. Shai Fran, that's the right way to do it. We've spoken many, I believe it might be already years ago, we had a shir once on Kedusha Svarim. And we mentioned that something which is one of my pet peeves, which I saw Rabbi Belsky Zatzal was also very against. Many people, what they do is they take the sitter and they use that to kiss the Sefer Torah. That Rabbi Belsky thought was a bizoyin for the Sefer. That's not correct. That you should not do. Don't use the Sefer to kiss the Sefer Torah. Use your hand, which we'll talk about in a second. But the Shari Ephraim is telling us that lechatchila, preferably you should kiss it. Get up close personal with the Sefer Torah. Give it a kiss. If you can't, then use your hand. And then he writes over in the footnote in the Shari Ephraim, he quotes over here from the Shloh. I am the kitzer Shloh b'sidurim milagleg al neshika siyat. They make fun of this kissing with the hand. What does that do? Like kissing on your hand. That's not the way we kiss. You give a kiss. You put your lips on it. That's how you show chavivus. That's how you show chashivus. Kissing it like this is a joke. So he writes over here, but less, it's not true. The kivin shenikra she'oisez eshem enashik. He says, no, there's a cheshbon over here. I'm doing this to show she'oisez eshem enashik b'yadi b'mokim she'gib esev eter shabadom milasis. Ken shemara kilo ideni gib esev eter nitvak b'yad reishim kedusha. So again, I'm saying that when I touch the Sefer Torah, kedusha's in my fingers now. It transformed. It was transmitted to my hands. Therefore, the chaim nashik sham. That's why I'm kissing it. The chaim oilam noigin. That's the velt. That's what everyone does. Kishem sham shem biyat tefillin. What do you do when you kiss your tefillin? We had to share on this also. You kiss your tefillin like this. You put your mouth on your tefillin shalyan. You put your mouth on your toes. It's impossible. You take your hand. You go like this. He says the same thing also. Mishum hezav adas. I kidei lasak yishidim mina. Vane gave makam etun if yesh lalita yodol lechulufa bidavish bekdusha. Maybe they tahara. Then yinishika who chiber letahara. I'm trying to connect to the kedusha. I'm trying to connect to that special thing. But then he quotes over here, but the Sefer Avodas HaTomid Kosem Shem Sefer Shul Minig Boyreis L'Nashav Yad. It's a foolish minig. There's no substance, there's no basis to going like this to the Sefer Torah. Either put your mouth on it or nothing, garnish, it doesn't count for anything. Okay? So seemingly we have two different ways of kissing the Sefer Torah. Now just from a strictly medical standpoint, putting your mouth on the Sefer Torah definitely would breed much more germs. So if there's no need to do that, I wouldn't think it's kedai to do so. I think it would probably be better to go on the side of caution and put your hand to the Sefer Torah instead of putting your mouth to the Sefer Torah.
Before the Kavachapin came along, there was no source for kissing the Sefer Torah?
No, I don't think so. I think if we're mechanach our children to do it, there's a reason to do it. The question just is, he just points this out. I don't think it's his chiddush that adults should also kiss the sefer Torah. I think the Shiur Mitzvah Balacha told this is based on this Rashi of Avodah Zarah that they used to kiss the hand of the gadol. So if you kiss the hand of a gadol, you got to kiss the sefer Torah as well.
But it's
not brought down strictly speaking, unless it's brought down in Hilchas Talmud in Hilchas Sefer Torah in Yoredei. I'm not aware of it, but in Hilchas Kriyas Torah, I don't believe it's brought down that when it passes by, you have a chiv to kiss it. I don't believe so. So if you look over here in Alicha Shloim, number 14, Shlomo Zalman writes like this. He says, Rabbeinu ha'im imashmish b'tzilin b'shas kriyishma meritzua shal tzilin shoresh. If Shlomo Zalman, when he used to touch his tzilin, he wouldn't use his hand, he actually would use his ritzuas or his tzitzit strings. V'oysa ha'im imashmish, and that's what he would kiss. V'loy noshak ha'siyodav, he would not kiss his hand. Why? Because if Shlomo Zalman thought that there's no concept of kedusha on your hands. This, my tzitzit string has a kedusha. My ritzuas has it. Maybe that's why people use their siddur to kiss the sefer Torah. They say that the siddur has kedusha, so it touches another of the kedusha, and therefore it transfers it. V'chein liman as bonav, he taught his children, koydim shenasa bar mitzvah, she'ein achlu nashak kaseyad. It's not right just to go like this, like we all do. Ella es har ritzuas. Instead, you should use your ritzuas. V'chein be'ez hakboz, oy b'hanoch kaseyad al mezuzah. Same thing with the sefer Torah, or what about a mezuzah? Loy nashak miyadav. When Rav Shlomo Zalman would not kiss the mezuzah with his hand, he said, but if everyone's doing it, al if you're going to look strange, then you shouldn't do it. But definitely don't speak ill of those who do it, and they're doing it because they love the mitzvah. But Rav Shlomo Zalman was very clear. He thought there's nothing, this is meaningless to go like that. It doesn't have any significance. So therefore, Dr. Shlomo Zalman, that's not the way to go. So I would assume if Rav Shlomo Zalman walked by the sefer Torah, he would mamash put his mouth in it. He'd even ask to give a piv. Because going like this, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought has no chashivas. If you look at number 15, a quote from the Chazon Ish, that what? U'bachnosas sefer Torah lo'en kodesh ha'yinigosh shuv pam, he would come close, u'menashagas the sefer Torah, and he would kiss the sefer Torah. Now it doesn't tell us how he kissed the sefer Torah. But on the footnote, he writes, he was not happy with this idea. Chazanish thought you kiss the sefer Torah, you kiss the sefer Torah. That's how you kiss the sefer Torah. So we have a little bit of a discussion over in the Achronim, what's the best way to kiss the sefer Torah? Should you actually put your mouth on the sefer Torah, or should you put your hand to it, or perhaps an object to it? Obviously, as we mentioned earlier, one way would definitely spread germs much, much faster. If you look over in the that's a good question. I'm assuming he would use like his tzitzit string or something, according to Shlomo Zalman. We'll talk more about kissing the mezuzah a little later tonight. Part of the shiur tonight is going to be, do you really have to kiss the mezuzah in the first place? But I would assume, according to Shlomo Zalman, if he did kiss the mezuzah, the way he would do it is he would take his tzitzit strings and he would put it up against the mezuzah, not with his hand. If you look over in number 16 from the Sefer Vayishma Moshe with a quote, Hanhogus from Rebbe Eliashiv, he writes, they quote like this. One of these guys realized, one of those stalker paparazzi who stand by Gedolim and watch every move they make, he once noticed that Rabbi Eliashiv never really got so close to actually put his lips on the Sefer Torah. He got like up close in person, but he never put his lips on the Sefer Torah. But Rabbi Eliashiv made it look like he was kissing the Sefer Torah, but he never touched it with his mouth. Someone asked Rabbi Eliashiv, "Is there some svar to this? What's going on over here, Rabbi?" The Rabbi Eliashiv answered, he said, "We learned in our halach and shulchan aruch, you're not supposed to put money into your mouth. Spread of illnesses from other people." So too, when it comes to kissing, someone else just put his mouth there. The spread of germs. Rabbi Eliashiv would not kiss the sefer Torah because he was afraid of spreading germs. He wouldn't put his lips on it. So you see, Rabbi Eliashiv was choishish for the spread of germs, and therefore he felt that there is no reason to do so, and therefore it's better not to. On the footnote, they write, but we did find in Achreinim, you don't have to worry about kissing the sefer Torah. Rabbi Eliashiv was personally machmir. Ulam, we don't find that he said this to others. Maybe it was his own personal chumrah. Maybe this is why Rabbi Eliashiv was zeichet to live for such a long life. Maybe he's very careful about germs. I don't know. I'm sure he was zeichet to live a long life because he was a big time chacham. But here, clearly, Rabbi Eliashiv was more concerned about germs than maybe other people. And therefore, Rabbi Eliashiv would not kiss the Sefer Torah directly. However, If you look over at number 17, in the Sefer Ohel Yaakov, he quotes many other Gedolim that had no problem kissing the Sefer Torah. He writes, "Af mishikas biyardesim kuf design sefek shetzarach lehizar shaloyosim b'sech piv mois shem yeshalem." Right, even though we learned earlier, like Rabbi Yashiv said, that you're not supposed to put money into your mouth because that's how you spread germs. Mikom makom l'gabi nishikas sefer Torah she'avah l'fanav. When it comes to kissing a sefer Torah, ain lachosh b'shem shoyim mitzvah leyede davara. You don't have to worry; you're doing a mitzvah, and since you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to be concerned. Who are these gedolim? So he writes in the footnote, that's the opinion of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Rabbi Avigdor Nevin Sol Shlito. Okay, these are big gedolim. They were very not concerned about putting their mouth onto the Sefer Torah. They thought maybe shomer mitzvah le'ed davara. Again, maybe someone in the medical field can shed light on the medical study behind this. But from halachic, I know chashuva people that don't kiss the Sefer Torah on their mouth because of this concern. I know chashuva people do kiss to put the Sefer Torah to their mouth. I've seen both. But here it seems to be a machlokes achronim, whether or not putting your mouth onto the Sefer Torah. So again, in our times, coming back to now, I definitely think no one should put their mouth on the Sefer Torah. Because first of all, you may not have to in the first place. Maybe mechates you have to in the first place. Coupled with the fact that there's a very strong possibility that the diseases are being transmitted, I see absolutely no reason why anyone should kiss the Sefer Torah with their mouth. Okay. There's another time where people kiss things, and that's with regard to svarim that fall on the ground. Everyone knows that if a sefer falls on the ground, you pick it up and kiss it. It's not so clear where exactly it says that, even though everyone knows that. But if you look over in a sefer called Ginze HaKodesh, he writes, "Noagu the minigish lenashik sefer shenafal aris." If a sefer falls on the ground, we pick it up and we kiss it. Benoigim kein afilu kishenafal davshish, but if you have just a piece of paper, that's Torah, we do it. Avol mechtava iton shish, but if you have a letter or let's say a newspaper that has Torah content, he says that you don't have to kiss. And then he also points out that many people make a mistake. Five svarim fall on the ground. So everyone, first they kiss each one while the other three are sitting on the floor. He says, that's not right. You should first pick everything up and then kiss it. Now, why am I bringing this in? Because many people kiss svarim today and they pass it around. I'll put my mouth on the sefer and then I'm going to give it to you. Then you're going to put your mouth on the sefer. This is how we spread germs. So I think that's something we should be more careful with, because strictly speaking, you can probably go like this also, and maybe even kissing it is only a minug. That's when it falls on the ground. But we should try to be a little bit more careful with spreading germs by putting things onto our mouth. Now, the next topic that I want to get to is mezuzah. And this bothers me a lot, because there's a shul across the street from where I live, and we're talking about mamish, before shuls were even opened, when people were still davening outside here in the community, I was watching with my own eyes, five people go into the shul, each one kissed the mezuzah like this. Each one go like this, put their hand, next one. And I think myself, Rabbeinu Shlomo, this is how you spread germs. What's going on over here? Why are they doing that? And then the question really is if you really have to kiss the mezuzah in the first place, and now if you do have to kiss it, is it kedai to kiss it and the possibility of transmitting germs? So in order to answer that question, we have to see a Ramo in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Mezuzah. Uncle Moishi made an entire CD, I just listened to it in the car with my kids, designated to the mezuzah. And he takes with other Pashit that you have to kiss the mezuzah. He passes Mefurish on the tape. Many of the songs are about this topic. And you have to kiss the mezuzah, you have to kiss the mezuzah, you have to kiss the mezuzah. Is that true? So there's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, beginning of Hilchas Mezuzah. The Ramah writes number 19 in Simen Reish Pehe in Yerodei Hilchas Mezuzah. The Ramah writes, Yei Shoimrim, Kesha'odim Yoytze Min Abayis. There are those who say that when a person leaves his house, Yeniach Yod Yal Mezuzah, he should put his hand on the mezuzah. The Yoimen, he should say, Hashem Yishmor Tzeischo V'yecha, a very famous line in Tehillim, which we're all familiar with. Hashem Yishmor Tzeischo V'yecha, Hashem should guard my comings and my goings. V'chein kishe yichnas odom l'bayis, when a person comes into his house, yeniach yad al mezuzah, he should place his hand on the mezuzah. Note, the Ramah never said a word about kissing. The Ramah said, put your hand. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you can't transmit germs through your hand, but we all know that's much lesser level of transmission of germs, but the Ramah never says kiss it. All the Ramah says is put your hand on it. When you leave, put your hand on it. When you come, put your hand on it. Is that who? That's all the Ramah writes. Where did the Ramah get this from, that you're supposed to put your hand on the mezuzah? Where does that sound so strange? So if you look in the Vilna Gaon number 20, Vilna Gaon says, tells you to look in two Gemaras. One Gemara Avodah Zarah, and one Gemara in Menachos. So we'll just look at one Gemara together. A Gemara Navay Dazar. Fascinating Gemara Navay Dazar. Gemara Navay Dazar is talking about Uncle Sager. Uncle Sager was a very interesting ger that the Romans wanted to bring him down. And every single time they sent soldiers to chap Uncle Sager, He ended up being the car of those soldiers. He ended up making those Roman soldiers weiter into Jews. So they were coming up with different. So the government was getting frustrated how we can, you know, put down Uncleus without him getting a following. Because every time we'd send soldiers out to bring Uncleus back and to take care of him, he'd be mekar of the soldiers and make them Jewish. So the Gemara tells the story in Avodah Zarah that they told the soldiers, "I want you to go. I don't want you to say a word to him. Don't talk to him. You don't listen to anything he has to say." So the Gemara tells us the story. So what happened? Hadashah the good Nachman, they sent another batch. Abasrai Amalu, they told him, "Loi tishto midavad." They don't say a word to him. Kinoptelev ozli chazem mezuzah. So he saw a mezuzah, the moncha apischa that was sitting on a door. He walked by a house with the mezuzah, and this is Uncleus with the soldiers that are not supposed to talk to him because he's a bad influence on them. He's going to cause them to become Jewish. And Uncleus is walking with the soldiers. He sees the mezuzah. Oisiv yadi alo. He puts his hand on the mezuzah. Puts his hand on the mezuzah, right? That's the lashon of the Gemara. Oisiv yodi alov amalu, he says to them, "Mahai, what is this?" So amrule, so they say to him, "Emala, you tell us." Amalu says to them, "Min hagash shalaylam, in the normal world, melech bas v'dam yeshiv bifnim." Right, a normal king, he sits on the inside. V'avadav mishamim ma'is mevuchutz, and all his servants are on the outside. V'ila kadosh baruch hu avadav mibifnim, his servants are in the inside. V'hu mishamram mibichutz, and he's protecting us from the outside. Shenem, because it says in the pasuk, Hashem yishmor tzeischu v'yecha me'atav yadei lo. So what do you see from this story? You see from the story that he's alluding to the fact that the mezuzah is a shmira. He's also alluding to the fact that he touched the mezuzah. Says the villain, they're going, "Oh, somehow that's supposed to explain why the Ramah says to put your hand on the mezuzah." Now, if you look in the Birkei Yosef in number 22, he quotes from the Arizal, and he writes, "V'Arizal kosav yaniach etzboi hanikra amo al shakai." You should put your finger on the word shakai v'nishakenu. Now you should kiss it. Meaning, till now the Ramah never said anything about kissing it. That's the Arizal's chiddush. V'yispalal Hashem, you should daven to Hashem shishmerenu b'shem shakai, that He should protect you with the name shakai. V'chilufoi be'oisias. Okay, this is already beyond my understanding that you should be protected. So the Arizal Chayr was the first to introduce us to the concept of kissing the mezuzah, because while in the Ramah, it never says that you have to kiss the mezuzah. Comes along with Kivegu Nechuva, Gevaldik Nechuva. Kivegu writes, he says, "Ha'ara re'isi mekama anoshim ha'isim shloikidin." Says of Kivegu, "I saw a lot of people do the wrong things." Why? They have a minute to touch the mezuzah, put their hand on the mezuzah when they leave the house. Ve'eina mechalkim, they don't differentiate the mezuzah b'toich tikaloi. Apparently, we discussed this when we learned the sugya of checking your tefillin mezuzahs. Apparently, throughout history, there were times where the mezuzahs were not well protected. It was basically parchment hanging from the wall. So says Rebbe Kivegi, "You have no right to touch that. You can't just put your hand on that. It has kedusha." So says Rebbe Kivegi, "I don't get it. These people don't have the difference between when there's a parchment covered or parchment revealed, and they just touch it." And he writes, "We'll hedge cuts about Tais Berakam the Shabbos, the Maschal Eiches, the Lab Dafka Sevatari." Not only is it a Sevatari that you're allowed to touch with regular hands, it's Kol Kisvei Kodesh. It's anything. Harei this feel like the Kol Kisvei Kodesh to Metamin Yadei Matamishum the Reparnach the Asa Liga Ben Marim. You're not touch it. And therefore he says that if Mezuzah is B'chol Kisvei Kodesh, so he says, I don't understand why is everyone touching the Mezuzah. Frankly, Kiveger, not only is no need to kiss to touch the Mezuzah, it's wrong to touch the mezuzah, tiny Rebbe Kivega. Why? Because you're touching Kisvei Kodesh with bare hands. Ah, he says Rebbe Kivega, "V'hach milsa gufo l'anich yodei al mezuzah ein lo mikar b'shas." Says Rebbe Kivega, there is no source to kiss, to touch the mezuzah. Forget kissing, to touch. Says Rebbe Kivega, there is no source. Rak b'shulchan aruch b'agav, shem Maril. The Maril made it up. There's no reason to do it. If there's a real iser, if you're going to touch the mezuzah when it's not properly wrapped, it's a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. There's no chiyuv. Kveger hell. There is no din de gemara that you actually need to touch the mezuzah. So Kveger is gevaldik. Kveger is arguing on the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon told us we got it from a Gemara over here in Maseches Avodah Zarah with Uncleus. Said Kivega, there is absolutely 100% no mikor that you need to touch the mezuzah. If you want to do it, okay, you have to make sure it's properly wrapped. The kasha is, what do you mean? Didn't the Vilna Gaon tell us it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah? So if you look over in number 23b, in the Sefer Apraxa, the Inyana, he wants to taina umasha omar Uncleus l'ramoy ein erak l'achshivin l'Yisrael. He wants to say that Uncleus was trying to be mash of Klai Yisrael to the Roman generals. Uncleus was not giving a halacha share to the Roman generals of what you're supposed to do. uncles wouldn't say, okay, and you should know, Jews, we touched the mezuzah, and then, no, that wasn't the purpose. It wasn't halacha l'maisa to the Roman soldiers. It was just telling them about God Yisrael's amazing things. What he did. He says, think about it. The Ramah doesn't say chayiv. The Ramah says yeshem. Yeshem, who's arguing? Says the Sefer that the Teretz, it's not mochach from Uncle Sager. Uncle Sager is not writing halacha for Klai Yisrael. Uncle Sager was telling over the soldiers. So therefore, it's not mochach, and therefore, Kveger can argue and hold that there is no hoichach while the Ramah brings it down as a hoichach. Okay.
According to Rabbi Kveger, yeah, he's saying that there's more kedusha to mezuzah than there is, meaning to the cloth of the mezuzah. It's like literally like, you know, the cloth of the Sefer Torah,
yes,
versus what the Megillah is.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though it's not the same kind of cloth. It's not as large. It's not
so what? Say the same kedusha. Same kedusha. You can't touch it with yadi arm. You can't touch it with naked hands. That's what your Kveger held.
Whereas the Megillah is not a problem.
Right, that's a question also. The Velt is more makel. It's a discussion. I always skip it every year when we get to Purim. Maybe this year we'll discuss it. The Velt is not makbid, but there is discussion about it a little bit. But the practice is not like that. Yeah. So how do we paskin? Should you touch the mezuzah? Should you kiss the mezuzah? What should you do? So if you look in the Leket Yoisha number 24 quotes from his Rebbe, the Chumash Hadesha, one of the Rishonim. He writes over here, Matzasi v'zechrani kishoholach mibesa. And remember that my Rebbe would leave his house, loy nogal lemezuzah. He never touched the mezuzah. Ach mistakel bo. He'd stare at it. Avo kishoholach mibesa lederech. But if he'd go on a trip, then nogal lemezuzah. Then he would touch the mezuzah. Depends. If it was just a regular, you know, you're going to shul, he went on a trip, then he would. What's this all about? So if you look in the Darki Moshe, the Ramah, number 25, he writes it this. Kosev Ma'aril, Haroitza Leilich Laderech Chutzli, if you want to travel outside the city, Kishiyotza, when you leave, Yaniach Yodel Mezuzah. You should put your hand on the mezuzah. Sounds like you're going on a business trip. V'yoyme B'shimcha Tel Etla, Ki Tel B'gmachu Yekoychoy, U'b'chol Eis Shiyotza Min HaPesach, Yaniach Yodel Mezuzah. That's if you're going on a business trip, you're leaving the city, you're supposed to make a special tefillah. But if you're just regularly leaving the house, then you should put your hand on the mezuzah, you should say, Hashem, Shoimer, Hashem, Shoimer, Hashem, Tzili, Ayad, Yimini. V'medvish, Om, Hashem, Yishmer, Tzesi, U'bavadei, Me'ata, V'adei, U'boi, Me'ata, V'adei, Lo. Then he quotes over here the Sefer Yosef Emutz, writes, V'reisi, Ovi, Mori, HaChosin, Nogulas, Ken, Gimupam. U'b'chol Pam, Em, Noshak, Es, Yodoy. He would take a kiss his hand, the nosna alenov, and put it onto his eyes. But strictly speaking, the way the Ma'aril brings down the minug, it's you put your hand on the mezuzah, you make a tefillah. Hashem Yishma, Hashem should guard me, Hashem should protect me. When you're going on a business trip even further, you make a longer tefillah. But it doesn't say anything particularly about kissing. It just sounds like you should put your hand on it. No real kissing necessary. If you look in the Shach over there on this halacha, the Shach quotes the same halacha. When you travel on the road, okay. If you look in the Chai Adam lived in the 1700s. The Chai Adam, for most of his life, never took a rabbinic position until there was a big fire we didn't speak about it here, where his whole family was very much injured, and he, Baruch Hashem, survived, and he made a big Suda Seidah. That's one of the Makaris for Suda Seidah. And then he became a Rav in Vilna. The Chai Adam writes, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shesivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the beloved of the Jews, that they're surrounded by mitzvahs. Tzulim, B'Roshi, B'Zroi, B'Tzitz, B'Big, D'Mitzvahs, B'Pisch, B'Mekayim, G'mazelu, Alzen, Emar, that's a Gemara. The Gemara said if you're makbid to have tzitzis bebigdoi, tefillin bereishoi, and mezuzah bebeisoi, you're good to go. Lefichach kishiyotza ad mebeisoi, yenashek bemezuzah. Says the Chai Adam, kiss the mezuzah. Oh, this is the makar for Uncle Moshe. He says, okay, kiss the mezuzah. Doesn't say that in the Ramah, doesn't say that in the Maril, but that's the way the Chai Adam quotes it. The Chai Adam quotes it that you should kiss it. Okay? If you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was the same author as the Kesset HaSeif we spoke about last week, from the Gansri. He lived after the Chai Adam. He lived in Hungary. He took many of his psakim were based after the writings of the Chai Adam. He lived after the Chai Adam. And he writes, since the mezuzah is supposed to remind you of Hashem, kiss it. Don't put it on the direct mezuzah. He's worried about Rebbe Kiveger's issue. Eloyizer, she is chukkas al Hashem. Make sure there's glass. Ukashiyatsim ibeisim and niachyod al mezuzim. When you leave, you should say Hashem shemrei tzila al yadi mina Hashem yishmatzeisu vayim atav yadelom. It's amazing. Many people kiss it. Very few people say the tefillah. Very strange. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch never said a word about kissing. He spoke about this tefillah. Yet the Chayadim says kiss it. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says kiss it and say the tefillah. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, number 29, he writes, Yeshayimim, number 29, Kishadim Yaitzim Nevais, when a person leaves his house, Yaniach Yod Almazuz, he should put his hand on the mezuzah, Yoyim, he should say, Hashem Yishmer Tzeisi Uvoi, V'chein L'kishin Nichnas L'bayis, when he comes into the house, V'yesh L'zek Tzas Mekabi Gemara, there's a shtickle right from the Gemara, Nevoi Zer, that we saw from the Vilna Goy, Ukishiyot L'derech, and you're going to and you're going on a trip, Chotzi, Yaniach Yod Almazuz, Yoyim, V'shimcha Tel Etla Kitel, Begmatria, we saw this. So again, Aruch HaShulchan passing like that. Then he quotes the Birki Yosef, who says you should kiss your fingers. But again, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't say anything about kissing. He says you should touch and say the tefillah. Okay, so if we were to stop right here, it doesn't seem overly, in my humble opinion, overly convinced that you need to kiss the mezuzah. And maybe if I can, we should all be touching the mezuzah. We should all be saying, Hashem Yishmer Tzeis Chaviach, Hashem should protect my comings and my goings. And before I go on a business trip, I should say a little longer tefillah. But the kissing seems to be maybe based on the Arizal or recorded by the Chai Adam. Listen to this story from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, you have to remember, the Chassam Sofer was a son-in-law by Rabbi Kiveger. We saw Rabbi Kiveger didn't think there was any mekar at all for touching the mezuzah. Listen to what the Chassam Sofer, the story that's said over about the Chassam Sofer. I believe this story is also found in the biography of the Chassam Sofer, which is a very nice read as well. They tell like this. Mesuper, it's said over. Ala going to Moshe Sofer, about the Moshe Sofer, Bal Chassam Sofer, the author of the Chassam Sofer, Shepam Nichnas El Chedro Avrech Ubepiv Bakosha, a certain, we'll call them today, a younger light came to the Chassam Sofer with a request, Yitel Ni Arav Smicha Sayro. He wanted Smicha. Shom Chassam Sofer Liboy, Sam Chassam Sofer Liboy Lakach, Shom Isa Avrech Lenoshek, the Mezuzah Bachnosa Sachdar. The Chassam Sofer noticed one thing about this younger man, that he didn't kiss the Mezuzah when he came into the room. Hadover Oyre to me, I believe, but it bothered the Chassam Sofer, raised question in the heart of the Chassam Sofer. Ach Sofer, Hoyishem, Ein Zeh Elamikra. It was a one-time mistake. He was so nervous, he was so preoccupied at getting smicha from the Chassam Sofer, he didn't think about kissing the mezuzah. So upon Eif al Avrich, Va'amra, Hayyem, Ein Shaiti, Pnui, Lekach, Boy, Eilai Mach. So the Chassam Sofer said, told this Avrich, you know what, I'm too busy today to give you smicha, come back tomorrow. What was the Chassam Sofer's agenda? He wanted to see, when he comes in tomorrow, will he kiss the mezuzah? He saw when he left, he also didn't kiss the mezuzah. Then the guy came back a second time, and this was now the third time he didn't kiss the mezuzah. I saw you now three times leave my door. You didn't put your hand on the mezuzah. You can't be a Rav in Klal Yisrael. So Chassam Sofer was very shtak about this. He didn't put his hand on the mezuzah. He didn't acknowledge it. He just walked right through it. Rav Kiveger told us that there's no makar to do this. He thought there's no makar in Shas to touch the mezuzah. Chassam Sofer would not give someone a smichas harav if he didn't acknowledge the mezuzah. Okay. Now, if you look over in number 31, they say for kviyas mezuzah kel chassam. He writes in the bottom, he says like this. He says, I asked two gedolim, don't say who they are. Why does no one kiss the boy? I've seen many gedolim walk through rooms and they don't kiss the mezuzah. I'm sure you all have had it also. Now you're all going to start watching even more now because it's something to look out for. I said, why don't they? So he writes, the heshivu shalei nogu lahakbet. Not makbet. But no one knows why. So again, strictly speaking, kissing the mezuzah, I don't believe is really a mechuyev. But the Ramah does write, you're supposed to at least put your hand on the mezuzah. That, I've seen many gedolim coming through doors, and they do not do so. So if you look over at number 32, they quote from the Stipe. I'm sorry. The Sefer Orchas Vabeinu, they quote from the Chazinish. Moran HaChazinish lo'hoyu menashe kiss the mezuzah, v'gam lo'inogu bo. The Chazinish would not kiss the mezuzah, and he would not touch it. He didn't. Told me he saw him stare at it, but he never saw him actually touch it. And he writes, what's the idea of staring at it? It's Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin says you stare at the mezuzah. Then he writes, for Isias Mari Rebbe, but I saw the stipler. No, but the stipler was much more machmir. The stipler would kiss every mezuzah that he walked through, but the Chazanish didn't. The Chazanish would not kiss the mezuzah, he wouldn't even put his hand there. So again, we're definitely seeing different opinions about the chiyuv to kiss mezuzah. Therefore, I suggest the following. Being that it's not necessarily a chiyuv to kiss it, I don't think one should, in the time that we're in right now, due to the spread of germs. I'm not convinced that that's something that we all should do. I don't think it's a good idea, because it's not so posh that you even have to do it in the first place. They asked Rabbi Victor Nevin the same question, number 34. Ha'im roi l'nashag l'nech yad ha'mezuzah k'yos min ha'bayis. V'im kem adu roi inu shukudel Yisrael. Why are so many them don't do it? Tshuva ain't a idea. Rabbi Victor Nevin also said he doesn't have an answer. He doesn't know why not. It seems to be a Ramon Shulchan Aruch. It seems like it should be something that we should do. But again, kissing, I'm adding, is not necessarily mefurash, besides for the chayodom, and maybe that reason, it's not mefurash that kissing is necessarily part of that. So I would urge kissing the Sefer Torah with your mouth, kissing the mezuzah, kissing the Sefer with your mouth, even kissing the mezuzah with your hand, I don't see necessarily needs to be done, and therefore it should be avoided at this time, maybe even forward, past this time, to stop the spread of any type of germs and viruses. Just to end off with a fascinating Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Pesach. Mishnah Berurah writes over here from the Shloh. There are people that used to kiss the matzah, they used to kiss the maror. They used to kiss the sukkah. Every mitzvah they'd kiss. We kiss the tzitzis, we kiss the mezuzah, we kiss everything. Praiseworthy are those people that serve Hashem with such simcha, with such excitement, with such enjoy that they want to kiss a chavetz shel mitzvah. But again, I don't think it's kedai to do it in a situation that could perhaps cause the spread of germs, and therefore I think we should be much more careful, much more in tune to what we're doing to see if it's really required by halacha and if it is causing chas v'shalom the spread of other germs and infection. Okay.